Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Herd Fit Podcast with Dr. Sam Ree and myself, Coach David Syverson. This podcast is aimed at helping anyone and everyone looking to enhance their healthy lifestyle through fitness, nutrition, and most importantly, mindset. All right. Welcome back to the Herd Fit Podcast. I am Coach David Syverson. I'm here with Dr. Sam Ree, and we have a special guest, our first return guest ever. If you guys go back and scroll back to our first ever episodes of the Herd Fit Podcast, Coach Adam Ramsden was on. That's when we used to shoot the episodes in the gym with all these wires. And now we've upgraded to a storage closet in the back of the gym on a cafeteria table with chalk as our microphone stand.
But there's headphones.
Yes. So. So we have headphones. Adam was the most listened to guest for a long time. Our most downloads ever were when Ramsden was on. And then we had this fellow named Chris Henshaw come on, and he recently passed Adam in the standings, and he put his foot down and said, "Hey, I got to come back." Nah, I'm just kidding. He didn't ask to come back. We asked him to come back. Welcome back, Ramsden.
Thank you. I'm good to be back.
All right. So today's episode is going to – we just kind of talked about how we want to introduce this topic, and it's going to be about dopamine / psychological impact biology that goes into the CrossFitter and our routines and how we pursue rewards, results, motivation, fitness. And there's a reason why we want to talk about this, and it's not necessarily just for the science reasoning behind it, but we listened to a podcast from the Huberman Lab. I just want to get this right. I have it written down. Dr. Andrew Huberman is a tenured professor of neurobiology at the Stanford School of Medicine. He has his own podcast. They're really scientific. He's decent at dumbing it down to someone like myself. And he did a podcast called Controlling Your Dopamine for Motivation. And I listened to it, I think, three times. I listened to it when it first came out. And I just recently listened to it again. And the entire time I listened to this, I was thinking about CrossFitters, myself and the people that we coach. And I also, what inspired me to want to do a podcast about this, even though it's going to be a little gray, I think, for some of us, is Sam and I, a lot of our off-camera / off-microphone conversations when it comes to Bison is truly not to put ourselves up on a pedestal, is how we can help people better. And a lot of the things that we internally struggle with is how do we always keep people motivated? And why do people get burned out across it? Why do people disappear, then come back, disappear, come back, come out, they're on fire for 3 weeks, we don't see them for 3 months. And there's no judgment there. There's a lot of lifestyle factors that go into it. I've been through it before several times. And we talk all the time, what can we do to help people stay motivated? Because we know that when you're motivated and you're achieving things and you're working hard, it brings a different level of fulfillment to people. And that's what we're here for. We're not trying to get everyone a six pack. We want people to be happy, and a six pack can be a little like,
I was about to say, that would be nice for people.
But you know, it goes so much deeper than the physical element. That's what I'm trying to say. Sam, before I kind of dive into how I want to approach this and then get your guys' feedback on it, give us your kind of, I don't want to call it a medical background, but kind of like your scientific background on dopamine and your positives and negatives about it.
Yeah. Dr. Huberman's a pretty smart guy, and I listened to the podcast too. And he talks a lot, and he does try to relate what's happening neurobiologically, that in terms of what we actually know about dopamine pathways in the brain, to how we can alter or change our behavior and our patterns to improve our lives. And he's big in all of his podcasts about using correlates in neurobiology to change what you do every day to make yourself be the best person that you can be. And he talks, the main thing about dopamine that he talks about, which is, this part is 100% true, is that there are two major pathways of dopamine in the brain. The first one is, and I won't go into it very specific, but it's about what we're going to be talking about reward, motivation, craving, pleasure. And then there's the other pathway, which you might know as the one about Parkinson's disease, where if you lose your dopamine transmission in that pathway, you have motor issues and you get very static. And dopamine has sort of fallen into our popular culture as something that you use to describe an up or pleasure, or when you do something that's really fun or good, you get this dopamine hit. And that's sort of true, but some of the research now suggests that dopamine is also really more of motivational salience, which is what they call it, which is basically it allows you to do things. So for example, they speculate in evolution, like things that are of high priority increase your dopamine because you have to want to do those tasks. Whatever those tasks are, they're mostly survival-related tasks. And if you have a low dopamine state, you don't necessarily have a lot of motivation to do some of these things. And he talks about the phases and the cycles, and that makes sense, right? If you have these issues that you have to face immediately and you want to be in a high motivational state, and then once that issue is addressed, you drop into a low motivational state. It makes no sense to be constantly motivated to do everything.
Right.
And he relates behavior to your dopamine state, which is fine. It's good. The issue is that we don't really know for sure whether this is absolutely true, because you can't actually measure dopamine in the brain. You can correlate behaviors, psychology research, and look at animal research and sort of try to match these. And maybe all of these things are true, but are they 1,000% like absolutely?
Real quick there, when he talks about in this episode about different things that spike dopamine, he talks about chocolate, I think 1.5 times, sex 2 times,
right.
Amphetamine. Are those numbers subjective?
They're true in the sense of rats,
right?
Probably. And okay. Probably looking at not actual dopamine, but right.
Some sort of other...
Yeah, some marker of dopamine, like dopamine receptor
density. Yeah, like you can't take a blood test and say your dopamine's at this level.
You can't, no. Right. No. Okay. Yeah, and there are correlates in ADHD, addiction, schizophrenia, like all of these. And they've made a lot of progress in terms of developing drugs and other things to help with dopamine levels in the brain and correlating that to behavior. I think this is really useful for us to use as a system to change our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it might all be true. We just don't know 100%.
Right. Yeah, you're not saying it's not true. You're just not saying scientifically you can't completely prove.
Right. And I don't mind using the popular slang like you get a dopamine hit from this or a dopamine hit from that, because it's sort of true.
Mm.
And it makes it easier for other people to understand, because we all know when you say I got a dopamine hit from looking at a post on Instagram, like what that sort of means. It means your behavior... Like you got your mood lifted, you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right. Motivated. But does it, right, exactly. You feel more motivated. But does it actually mean like your dopamine actually really changed an appreciable level in your brain?
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But it could have been.
But maybe not.
Maybe not. It could have been a whole bunch of other transmitters, a very complicated mechanism probably. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. We don't have to talk about that. We can just, I just wanted to say that. And just so people didn't sit here and think that like these are medical doctors who are using this. And that's why if you talk to a medical doctor, they're going to be all wishy-washy about this stuff, because it's still pretty gray.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to your doctor and say, hey, listen, I'm doing this and my dopamine is so high, they're going to be like, okay.
Like, I listened to the Hurricane podcast.
And they said that my dopamine is awesome. Like no. Yeah. But can you use this to really make your life better and change your behavior pattern? Absolutely.
Yeah. So Ramzan, when you first heard, I think Adam will share podcasts with me a lot, and sometimes I can get to him, sometimes I can't, and we'll kind of trade some back and forth, and they're usually a little above my pay grade when it comes to intelligence level. But when you first heard that I wanted to kind of do an episode on this, and I definitely wanted you to come on, like we waited to do this until you can come on, what were your initial thoughts?
So my background is a psychology. So I went to school for psychology, and so when I hear these podcasts, I'm coming at it from a, you know, strictly anecdotal, like what can we hear from stories and experiences that we've had that can help us. So that's where I put the sort of dopamine immediately went into the, okay, I know how I feel when those things are happening. Perfect example, like last Wednesday's workout was a lot of dumbbell snatch, a lot of double unders. So if we're taking the CrossFit path here.
Yeah.
And somebody came in to 7:15 class that is usually happy, like talks to everybody. And he just came in and he was just like super tired. I like, okay, cool. By the end of the workout, happy, smile, talking to everybody, like giving high fives, fist bumps. It was just like the perfect example of, okay, this is what exercise can do to do that dopamine hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking when I see these episodes, when I listen to these podcasts, that's where I come from, the avenue I take.
Cool. I like that. And we're definitely going to tie 95% of this to CrossFit, because that's what this podcast really centers around, or I should say fitness in general, exercise, lifestyle. And I do want to say, I just want to give a quick story that Huberman gave from his own podcast, that there is, you know, some science behind it that is factual and objective, right? We just said a lot of this is going to be subjective in our opinion, our take on it, and how we can tie this to CrossFit, but he had a stomach virus called Giardia, which I guess he was just talking about how gnarly it is, severe dehydration, had to go to the hospital and had to have an IV put in him, right? And within moments of that getting that IV, okay, because they tried to fill his stomach with something, right? And he started having this like overwhelming sense of depression, sadness. He was crying for no reason. And he asked, and because of his background, he knew that once he asked what they put in him, and he said Thorazine was the one. And Sam just told me that's a nasty, nasty.
We rarely use it anymore. We used to use it a lot. They used to use it for nausea a lot. I guess they gave it to him for nausea probably.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, so he asked the doctors, like, what did you give me, Thorazine? And he immediately knew that it blocks dopamine receptors. It's an antipsychotic drug. And so that he asked for L-DOPA, right? Imagine being at the hospital and be like, yo, doctor, give me this. Like, his background allowed him to do that. And you could probably do that too, Sam. If you went to the hospital, you would have a full understanding of what they're putting into you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm a plastic surgeon, so it's been a while, but I might.
Stronger than most. Like, I remember when Ashley was at the hospital, she had a rough go for her birth, and they were putting things in her. And like, I just remember watching her, and like, she was like a ghost for like 12 hours. I was like, holy cow, what are they putting in her? And I don't have any sort of background to ask, like, what are they? They told me what they're, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm like Googling it in the middle of the hospital. But he asked for L-DOPA, and they said within moments, he was back to normal. He went from severe depression to completely like normal and fine. And it was something that blocked dopamine receptors. And now those receptors were no longer blocked. And it had that kind of immediate impact. Like, literally went from a peak to a valley at the snap of a finger. So I want to throw that in there before we talk about, you know, how CrossFit and how all these layers of CrossFit can tie to our psychological state and our behaviors, and then which really does fuel our motivation here, our consistency here, and what we're actually pursuing. And because I think that in time changes for a lot of people, right? So why do I want to relate this to CrossFit? Okay, we talked about that in terms of like why we want to help people avoid getting to that burnout stage. I want everyone to think back to when you started CrossFit, like your first few times coming in. You probably didn't have nanos or Metcons, right? You just came in workout clothes. You didn't have a favorite pull-up bar. You didn't have a history to look back on. You didn't have good experiences and bad experiences yet. You were just coming in to exercise and try something new. And over time, after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years, you start kind of leaning towards certain kinds of workouts or coaches, or now at Bison are your certain zones, your pull-up bars. Like, I still, to this day, I get requests that I want a specific pull-up bar. I want a specific box. That was never a thing early on, because most of us never had. Just real quick, as coaches and as athletes, if you want to kind of give you kind of just some memories on when you guys started CrossFit, the difference between now when you come to the gym and back then, just in terms of like your experiences and what you're actually pursuing when you come in. Like, what were you pursuing, Adam, when you came to CrossFit?
You had said that when you were doing the history of CrossFit Bison episode, that I came from high intensity training that wasn't CrossFit.
Right.
So when we came here, we had kind of an idea of what it was like. So I'm thinking back when we first started this group fitness thing. And I remember in Hoboken, when I would go to the gym, when there would be a specific class, I'd go 10 minutes early and I'd go stand outside. There was like those big glass doors and windows and stuff like that and the mirrors. And I'd look who was going to go into class. And I'd kind of stand back and hang out by the water fountain, and I'd say, okay, he's going in. Okay. Class is fun when he's in.
Yeah.
Like, let me go in now. I'll go. If not, if I don't see the people that I want to work out with, fine. I'll just do my bicep curls and I'll go. So that was my mindset of the other people there immediately. It wasn't like, what are we doing in the workout? Cause we never knew, but it was the group of people that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sam.
When I first started, I was a true novice, so I didn't really know a whole lot about fitness or exercising or any of it. And I think my motivation at the time, now I'm thinking back at it as I was listening to Adam, was watching others and seeing how good they were at what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do that. It was really about just striving to be better and to emulate those that I saw at the gym. That was really my main motivation for months and months. And even now, just still, like, that's probably what drives me a lot.
Cool. So to compare those two, right? Sam's was a little bit more about, all right, I want to be able to do that someday. Adam was more about, in those early days at that other gym, more about like, all right, that person's going to show up. But basically, there was something fueling your desire to go into the gym, right? And at some point, and I think a lot of people when they start CrossFit is they're a blend of those two. They want to be around the right people, but they also want to get better at stuff, right? It's not always about an aesthetic. It could be for some, but it's more like I want to – like I remember when Dan Cota, when we had him on after the quarterfinals, he was like, I want to be able to do butterfly pull-ups. Like mm-hmm. he saw someone do it, and that kind of fueled him, right? In time, we start being capable of doing that. In time, we start making friends that we get to work out with all the time. And why do – so that's – at some point, it becomes not as attractive anymore. Or we get to that peak already, and now we're no longer striving for that. And I think my question is, why do we lose the enjoyment? Why do we lose – what happens, generally speaking, to someone that comes in and is purely fueled by watching someone else do something? I'm purely fueled by – being with the people.
What was yours?
Man, I'm trying to think back. I mean, mine was similar in that I just wanted to feel like I was achieving something that was really hard that I couldn't do. Like I got to the gym, like I can't do that. I want to get there. And then I remember watching my first ever competition. That's when I fell in love with the sport, right? Like I think I fell in love with the sport as quickly as I fell in love with the fitness regimen.
The competing.
Yeah, the competing. And like, yeah, I watched a competition my second month. And watched the entire thing by myself. Didn't know anyone there. And just was like, all right, I want to do that. And the same thing. Watched others do something and said, hey, if I work hard, maybe I can do that too. Right? And maybe that is something that, like, I haven't lost my fire for CrossFit because I'm always looking at someone better than me and saying, I want to do that someday. That might be why I am. But not everyone's wired like that. I would say most people are not wired like that. They don't really care about a competing. They just want to come and be healthy. So why do you think people lose that enjoyment of pursuing the people? Or are they too dependent on that? Do they get to the point where I only need that person, right? You said you would leave the gym if a certain person come in. Is that something that you think could happen at a CrossFit where like, hey, my buddies aren't here, I'm out?
I think it's something you can kind of desensitize yourself to, right? So it's like if you're constantly coming in, same group of people, you don't get that same high that you do the first couple of times. It slowly desensitizes it to you.
Right.
So I do think that we need to constantly be updating what our motivating factors are, what our goals are, always thinking about what we can do and how we can move forward. It's something to check in on as we, you know, continue when we start to feel that, oh, I'm not as excited to go every day as I used to be.
Right. Yeah. I think it ideally, if we were perfect human beings, we would be able to CrossFit by ourselves in a little room without anyone around, without any music and not seeing anything. But that would require a tremendous amount of motivation. That person's dopamine level in general would be through the roof because you would need that kind of motivation to be able to do that every day.
To truly work hard.
By yourself alone. For most of us, we find our own things that motivate us to come in. For a lot of people, it's the group. It might be a coach. It might be other things. And the people who I think, and I've talked to the OG people, there's a lot of, and we'll probably talk about it, internal motivation when it comes to it. They also need external motivation. Otherwise, there's only so much you can do all alone by yourself. And so having the people around you, having other things that help motivate you, that helps raise your dopamine state. Then you have, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, requiring more and more of these factors in order to entice us into working out.
Right.
And that's where you have to talk to people and figure out what is it that is truly elevating their dopamine state and can you maintain that over a long period of time.
Yeah.
So I think that that's where this is super relevant,
right?
Is finding out what is motivational for you and what do you need to be able to sustain this for a really long time.
Yeah. So like, and that's like the perfect transition into kind of what do CrossFitters do despite their own dopamine? Because initially you didn't really need it, right? You came in because you wanted to do what others were doing. So Adam wanted to be around the right people. And I'm sure there's obviously other factors as well, right? But that was kind of like one of the main things, right? Like he would literally leave the gym if someone was not there. Maybe would leave the gym or not work as hard if there weren't people around you that couldn't do things that were above your means at the moment, all right? But at some point, you can start doing that. At some point, you do have all the people that you want to work with at all the time. And like Adam said, eventually it gets dulled.
Well,
what's not, it's no longer good enough.
Right. Because what happens is I started learning how to do power cleans and I was like, oh my God, I can do 95 pound power cleans.
Right.
Now I can do 135.
Right.
And now it's like,
what's next? And it's like, it loses its luster after a while.
After a while, you plateau in terms of what you're learning. And then you're like, okay, what's next?
Yep, exactly. So this is where people start trying to spike their dopamine via other sources. And this is what Huberman called as layering. It's like, all right, this is no longer good enough. And this is where pre-workout routines come in for a lot of people. And we're not anti-routine, but let's talk about pre-workout supplements, right? Where I take them. And this is where Adam could use the word addiction. I want to get Adam's thoughts on this. Let's use me as an example because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, all right? So if I know I have like a hard workout coming up, I want this like an hour before of like quiet alone time. That's not few and far between now because of you know, having a kid. But and I want to have my pre-workout drink. I actually don't even think it helps me work out, but it's my mental state. It's like that I need, and if honestly, if I ever show up to the gym without it before, I'm mentally just not there. I think it's going to have a negative impact. It won't. Deep down, I know it won't, but mentally, it starts to spike that dopamine and it makes me feel like, all right, I'm in it now, right? And we can make the argument that yes, the caffeine is not necessarily bad for you, but there's other things in our pre-workout supplements that could cause, you know, some addictive natures. And it's more about that behavior that like I really feel like I'm in my workout now because I'm taking this pre-workout. And I know a lot of people in the gym take it too. I hear them talk about it, or they come in with that can right before the workout, they feel like it's actually, so I never used to do that. And now it's like I need this to work out. And that's just like one layer, and I could have a few different layers as well. Thoughts on that, Adam? Like a pre-workout supplement and that first layer of someone that uses to spike their dopamine.
Yeah, obviously the supplements, and we have to, I think, immediately divide use and abuse, right?
Right.
If you use supplements, I think it's fine. I take protein. There's a lot of different things, creatine that you can take, and they're not inherently bad. The problem is when you say, oh, I need this every day to work out. I need the music. And if the music's not right today, then I'm going to have a bad workout. And I'm not going to be happy with my score on the whiteboard. And I'm going to go and I'm going to get that really deep low afterward and say, oh, if only I had my right pull-up bar, or if only I didn't forget my knee sleeves, I could have done so much better today. And so I don't think it's a problem with anything in particular. If you have a routine, that's fine. I think you need to be able to say, okay, today's a really hard workout day. I need my hour. I need my pre-workout. Tomorrow, I'm not going to do any of that stuff.
Right.
And I'm going to go in and I'm still going to work out. It might not be, I might not have that same high that I got today, but I need to be able to pull that back and keep that under control before it becomes an addictive behavior.
I think caffeine is tricky because your body definitely becomes habituated to it. If you're a coffee drinker, like, and you don't get your coffee, you will get headaches, you will feel like crap, and your body gets used to it. And like you said, it may no longer help you from a physical standpoint because your body is just used to it. If you've never drunk coffee and you drink two cups, you're pouncing off the wall.
Right.
But if you drink 3, 4, 5 cups a day regularly, that won't even touch you. You won't even feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. A lot of times it's about the mental state. I personally save any kind of pre-workout for the open,
right?
Comps, like something like that.
I respect that. Yeah.
I never take it before any workout, even though I used to.
Right.
I used to take C4. I used to throw it into my drink and I just felt I didn't like that feeling.
Yep.
And I hate feeling addicted to something.
Right. And out of control.
And like I have to have it. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I feel like anything that I need to force myself to come in, I should want to come in regardless.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like you said, we were just talking about it. You look at the workout and you're like, that's not a good workout.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in a low dopamine state and you're like, oh, that's not good. I'm not going to come in. I'll make it a rest day and I'll come in tomorrow when we're doing hang power cleans.
Yeah.
And then I'll get my dopamine hit from looking at that and be like, yay, that's what I want to do. If I feel like I need pre-workout, I don't want to take it.
Cool. Yeah, and that's one layer of spiking dopamine for your workout because it's no longer good enough to come in and try to do what others are doing. It's no longer to come in and just be around the right people so you can have a fun workout. Another thing I think people do to spike dopamine is that post-workout cheat meal/reward, right? Where if I do this workout, I can go eat terrible tonight, or I can go have that drink. And that's another layer of dopamine that we don't need to spend as much time on this one, but it's another way of kind of looking past what you're actually doing at the gym for fitness, for health. It's you're kind of removing yourself from the moment and trying to spike that dopamine by thinking about that piece of cake, that pizza, that burrito from Blue Moon post comp, all right? Or that those drinks. Thoughts on that real quick. I'm just like what people do post workout and how that kind of spikes that, or it's a pursuit of spiking dopamine.
Yeah, I mean, if we go back to the story of feeling that high after the workout, you're going to get that low directly afterwards.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, well, what can I do in the future that's going to make that low not so bad? What's the reward that I'm going to give myself so that I don't get upset after this really high that I'm going to get because I've stacked all these behaviors? So I think we need to try and pull that baseline down and think about ways that we can do that by making things less based on those motivation of rewards.
Right. Yeah. External rewards, you keep stacking them and that's going to make it harder and harder. If I don't go to the gym, unless I'm like, all right, if I go to the gym today, I will get my double caramel macchiato afterwards. So I will go to the gym.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when you don't get your double caramel macchiato, or are you not going to go to the gym because you're in a low dopamine state and the only way you can force yourself is with this external reward? That is a very unreliable way of maintaining discipline and progress in terms of your fitness.
Yeah, really important thing that Adam brought up, and I think everyone needs to know this. When your dopamine hit a spike, it's going to come down. So there is going to be a crash. Like if you can try to picture this like baseline dopamine level, like your just normal resting state, right? If you spike it via workout, spike it via your post-workout cheat meal, the level of spike above your baseline is how far down below your baseline you'll become at some point. So there's highs and lows. And like I can see it and have been through it with people that compete, right? We just had a lot of people compete last weekend. We have a lot of people competing next weekend. This is so common that there's something that you work really hard for. You get to that high of the competition. You love it. You crush it. You do well. Not even matter what place you come in. Like you hit that spike. And I see this all the time. There's like that week or two after. Sometimes it's 2 weeks after. That lull after is really hard for people to deal with. I see it after the Open a lot, after quarterfinals. People hit this like it's almost like a state of depression. And I think that it's something to be very mindful that if you're layering all these different levels of dopamine spikes and you're just trying to get higher and higher and higher, you're going to crash lower and lower and lower. So I think that's something to really be mindful of in terms of what you do post-workout that spikes your dopamine, right? That if you're going to further spike it because you need something even more, right? Just be prepared for the fact that you're going to come down even lower.
And I mean, how many times, it's almost a daily occurrence, we get through the workout, afterwards everybody's high fives, and then an hour later you're like, I could have gone faster. I could have done better. I could have gotten one more round. If we can attribute that to, maybe it's not something that's happening neurologically in the brain, but maybe it's just something that we have to be prepared for on a daily basis, or when we get those super highs of the competition and stuff like that, there's going to be that drop afterwards.
Absolutely. So I have three left. Music and / playlists, all right? I mean, this is something that we can laugh about as coaches because you just... You're never going to make everyone happy about the music in your room, but especially with big classes. But I think that's another huge thing that I've tried to do this subconsciously before I even heard this podcast. Like I try not to listen to the same music. I do have an addictive personality. And I remember going to like back in my days in New York Sports Club lifting, and I would literally listen to the same song like 19 times in a row, the entire workout. And like that's a bad trait now that I'm learning that, right? But I try to listen to all different genres of music. And it sounds funny. It's like, Dave, this is getting a little too, you know, specific. But I actually think like I don't want to always have like the pump up, my kind of music that I really want. I'll listen to some quiet stuff, soft stuff, or stuff that I normally don't listen to outside of the gym. I don't want to be reliant on that. And I know there are some people that are reliant on a specific genre of music or a certain song when they're lifting, which if you think about it is ridiculous, right? Like you need a specific song too. But I also think that the more you listen to that genre, it actually becomes less effective, right? Like I know there are certain songs that Ramzan likes when he lifts, right? And like if I once every 6 weeks throw it on there, if he's in one of my classes, like it helps. But if it's every single time, he's going to need something else despite that dopamine. Thoughts on that? Because Adam, you're a music guy.
So. I am. Yeah. I think that avoiding routine is the key, right? Don't say, oh, I need this every day to get my best workout, because every day is not going to be your best workout. So it's better to be able to consciously say, you know what, today I'm not going to do this thing I was really looking forward to, and I'll do it tomorrow. I'll push it off until later in the week. If there's butterfly pull-ups in the workout and I crush butterfly pull-ups, I've been looking forward to this all week, maybe you just change it to strict pull-ups.
Right.
Just once.
Yeah.
And then just to kind of keep those levels in check.
If I'm really in a workout, I don't remember what the music is, which means if I'm listening to the music, I usually notice at the beginning of the workout and then maybe at the end. But you literally could play almost anything in the middle when I'm suffering and I probably won't remember what it is.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then I'm probably in the right mindset with
Agreed.
It.
Agreed. Completely agree.
When I make up my music for my classes, I try to mix it up, but I mean, most people know I like sort of dancey clubby stuff.
Yeah.
And people make fun of me for it. Like CJ the other day was like, are we at a club? And then someone's like, what? It sounds good. What are you talking about? And then, and so I know if somebody's noticing what the music is, they're relying on an external factor to get them going.
Right.
And so if you need your death metal, if you need your upbeat, you know, pop or whatever it is,
right,
you're not really
in it,
in the workout the way you ought to be in the workout.
Right.
And I see that most commonly with Murph. When people have to do the mile runs, they'll put the headphones on.
That's a good point.
They'll bring their earphones and they'll run with it. And I'm like, I used to do that too. Like, it makes it easier to make that mile run quicker if you have that external reward of that music you like in your ear. But I have also tried very hard not to use it. And have you ever worked out in complete silence? Also really weird and interesting if you've ever done that.
Right.
Sometimes I'll do that at home or something just to mix it. Like Adam says, you just break up the routine.
It's funny. Like you guys both, like, it's like there's like subconscious that you guys know, like, don't avoid doing the same thing every time. And like, yes, you're not probably thinking about your dopamine while you do that, but it does. It makes you kind of value what you're actually doing within the workout more, and pre-workout music, roared after, like all these things. I think we could start to see where people do this. Like I see it all the time with like when we're the Tuesday Fridays when I'm here between 8 and 9:30. There's no classes, so the next level people come in that can and do a lot of their work. And I always have music on in the background. It's usually a playlist I don't have to pay attention to, like whether it's one of your playlists that you've made or the Big Booty mixes, right? And they all put their own. A lot of them put their own headphones in. And it's like, it's another thing. Are you relying on that to do your work? And it's you do it every single time. I think that's a really good point.
And I think it's something where, yes, like maybe it at first it's, oh, I need it for the mile for Murph because that's a really long run. And then that bleeds into, oh, it's an 800 meter run, 400 meter run. That's pretty long. Pop the headphones in.
Yeah.
I always think back to when I first started coaching. Adam Storms told me, like, sometimes it's just good to, at the end of the night, turn the lights off, do your workout, silence, black gym. Mm. So I did DT in the dark, no music.
That's sick.
And wow. It was weird, but it was also like, okay, I don't need the music. These external factors and these motivators are good. And I always enjoy the workout more when there's music and there's other people around, but you don't need it. If you can get that internal motivation of just, I'm going to get this high from this workout because this exercise does spike my dopamine, then, you know, that's all you need. And try and push out those external factors.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think it's just the fact that you're conscious of it and you're disciplined in general, right? Like, I think it's something that can really bring you to a higher level of enjoyment and fulfillment. At the end of the day, that's really what this podcast is about. It's not us telling you what to do, what not to do. It's like, we want people to get more enjoyment out of this. Right. And it's because we see a lot of people, they lose their lust after a while. And the fitness, you know, industry, I've always said this, like as a business owner, it's tough because the fitness industry is a fad industry. There's always something new to go try. And I get it. Trust me. CrossFit is unique in that stance, in my opinion, but I'm biased, obviously. But even that, it's not immune to the fact that it gets old after a while. And I want to ask ourselves, why is it getting old? And the occasional dark room, no music workout, the workout where you're not cherry picking, which is coming up next or in two topics from now. I think that's just something to be really mindful of if you ever feel like you're starting to lose your kind of passion for it. All right. I have two left. know, again, these are layers that people use to spike their dopamine because what they used to do was not good enough. Now they need this, right? The next one's a big one. I see it all the time is people. And this is tough, right? This is going to sound almost counter to what we usually say, like CrossFit, the community, it is all about the people. But when we're here to work out, I don't think it needs to be all about your friends, your training partners, your, the favorite coach that you have, right? And I know for a fact there are people that will only go to a certain coach's class, especially if it's a certain kind of workout. I know for a fact that people will only come to the gym if there's certain someone is there also training with the class. I know for a fact that there are people that get pissed when they're not near the person that they want to work out with. And you can spin this as, oh, well, it's all about the people. I want to be around my friends. It's my hour, right? Like, give me what I want. But I think when we do this, it could, and I'll go into why I think these are all negatives and what we can, why we want to avoid all these layers. That's going to be next. But it can really, it's in time, it lessens the actual enjoyment of what you're doing here. And remember, when you started at CrossFit Bison, you didn't really know anyone, either one of you. You didn't have this, like, I need this person. I need this coach. You're like, dude, I'm just going in because that's what my schedule says. Who's there is great. Who's, you know, if this person's there, great. If not, doesn't matter. I'm still going. And just give me your quick thoughts on how the dangers of being reliant on a certain person being at the gym, whether it's an athlete or a coach, can actually lessen your experience here in time.
I think that I'm guilty of this all the time, is that when I'm looking at a class and I'm saying, oh, am I going to go to 4:15 or 5:15? I'll check Zen Planner.
Exactly.
Who's in the class? It still happens.
We didn't have this. Exactly. Right. You never knew.
You didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And thinking back even further to when we used to, you know, show up on a Saturday class and you didn't know who was going to be in Saturday class. And then you saw somebody working. Oh, maybe Dave will partner me up with that person. Or maybe I should just text him and say, oh, me and this person are coming in on Saturday. Can we work out together?
Yeah. Friday night, 9:45 PM is preferred on that.
You know, so we're all guilty of it, and it all happens, and it happens subconsciously. So it's kind of just like, maybe some days you say, all right, I'm signing up. I'm not even looking at who's in the class. I'm just going to reserve the spot, and I'm going to go at this time. And, you know, that.
Yeah, I think that it was easier before to not use this as external motivators when we didn't know who was coaching. And right. I see it. I've seen it a couple of times. I've seen it when I've started coaching on Wednesdays, and someone show up and be like, oh, where's Dave?
Yeah.
Like, you're coaching? Oh. Like, you could see that dopamine go, whoop, and just fall.
But now it's the other way around. Yeah,
well, no. But, and I myself also am, like Adam is, guilty at looking and saying, okay, who's that coach? Is that the motivating fact? Like,
right.
I've tried to take the guesswork out of it by saying, all right, this day is going to be my not working.
Right.
I'm going to work out on these days, regardless of who the coach is.
Right.
And I also want to force myself to take classes from everyone. And some of that is because I'm a coach. And so I do better when I see a whole bunch of coaches. It makes me a better coach. So that's my motivating factor. But it's really hard because if we could work out by ourselves alone, that'd be awesome. But I literally have tried. In COVID, I tried.
Yeah.
And I could for a little while.
It's hard.
But you can't forever work out by yourself. And you see people who are injured or rehabbing and they work out by themselves. It's so hard for them.
Right.
They are dying to come back into class as soon as they can because you'll get that motivating factor.
Right.
The issue is how specific do you end up starting to make it? Like, if you need to have your bestie there with you, not good.
Right.
And if you're looking at the whole class and being like, oh, I like these guys. These are good guys. I'm going to work out with them. Now, sometimes people will say, okay, like, oh, this person is good because they'll motivate me because we're sort of the same. I'll like Scott Sweeney. Like, I worked out with him the other day.
Yeah.
And
snatch workout.
Yeah. And yeah. I didn't choose the workout because he was in the class.
Right.
But it did give me a little bit of a dopamine spike to be like, oh, Scott's with me. And then he happened to be in the lane next to me. And I was like, nice. Like,
yeah,
that helped me, but I wasn't looking for it,
right?
And that didn't determine whether I was coming in or not.
Yeah, and it's like if you're not really aware of this, right? Like that little spike in dopamine that you had from working out in the same class as Scott, and he was right behind you, and you guys were both snatching the same weight.
Yeah, 135.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
but and you know that's maybe part of the reason why you like working out with them. You're similar athletes, right?
Yeah.
Now it's almost like now you want that. Like you have to be careful to not crave that next time. Like, oh, Scott's not in next Tuesday's WOD. I'm not going to go.
Right.
No, like that's where I think there's nothing wrong with like I like working out with Ramzan and you. I like if I see you guys in class, like yes, I'm pumped, but I'm not going to expect that next week, right? We have different schedules, right? Like, we can't line each other up all the time. And I think that's just something to be aware of. Are you only going to a gym because so-and-so is being in there? All right. Occasionally, if that's going to help you get out of a rut, you're having a bad day, you want to be right, fine. But if it's every day, or you start getting pissed when you're not in the class, or you don't work hard when the person, that's a problem. And I think that's just like, you need to be aware that like you're trying to spike your dopamine. And honestly, I think a lot of us, you're not going through the day saying, I'm trying to spike my dopamine right now. But it is like, I think there's something in your brain that's happening that could eventually lead to a burnout, right? What about if someone moves? What if I was someone that was like, hey, I want to work out with Nicole Radcliffe or Ryan Radcliffe every day. That's me. Like, I'm only going to go and work hard because they're there. And then they move to Texas. What are you going to do? What happens?
Yeah, I think it comes back to, you know, reflection and thinking about these factors beforehand and saying, but am I getting into a routine where I need to do this class or I need to take this coach's classes every time? And if you're seeing yourself being pulled in one direction or not, try to pull yourself back.
Right.
Just try to keep it in check. Okay, now I'm going to try to, you know, do something that isn't in that avenue of things that I'm really looking forward to or I'm leaning on towards. When I used to use knee sleeves whenever I squatted at the beginning, and then it was like, oh, there's a lot of wall balls in this workout, let me use my knee sleeves. Mm-hmm. And then it became knee sleeves for air squats.
Yeah,
you know,
or running at 5k.
yeah. And at one point I was just like, you know what, I gotta take the knee sleeves off even when I'm squatting. Maybe I can't squat as much, maybe I don't feel as safe squatting, so I gotta bring the weight down, and maybe I'm not gonna get that dopamine spike from getting that weight on the whiteboard.
It's a really good
but
point.
You know what, I'm not leaning on the what's becoming a crutch.
It's a great point. Like, I didn't even think about that, but like, I'm big on the knee sleeve, and like, I can come up with a million reasons why, but it's like a routine, an addiction to that when I squat. And it's, I've noticed that anything, it's turned away from just a heavy day to wall balls, high volume. I want to go fast today, right? It does get tough if you're, you know, really pursuing performance and competing. It's like, hey, I'll do anything that will help me perform better. That's legal. But I do think that even like on a normal Cindy type workout where it's air squats, like, you don't freaking need them, right? Like, and that it's a good, that would, but it takes discipline. Like, Adam's a pretty disciplined dude in general. And I think it kind of translates to that. Any thoughts there, Sam?
Yeah, we all have our crutches. I mean, I think of them as pacifiers. I do the same thing with my wrist taping.
Right.
I did it when I had some tendonitis before. It's better. Anything, like, even with the push-ups, like the push-up workout, I was like, do I need my wrist tape? And I was like, you don't really need it. But I was like, I'll put it on anyway. Mm-hmm. So I have to wean myself off of that. There are certain things I think I really do need it for. Heavy overhead, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, part of it's just like physical protection.
But, you know, some for the things I really don't need it for, I mean, do I need it for rowing? I don't think so.
Right.
Why am I putting it on?
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, I really need to figure out what I really need and what I don't need and get rid of those crutches.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
I mean, call them layers too. Like, that's like the word I want to keep saying. We're going to tie this up with one last one. It's just like, it could be another just layer of that dopamine spike, right? And like, it used to never have to do that, right? And it's like, what's next? Like, this is going to keep, if you continue to do CrossFit for another 5-6 years and you're on layer number 9 right now, like in 5-6 years, you're going to be on layer number 16. Like, how, at what point do we acknowledge this is, it's not right? My last one is probably the biggest one. Save the best for last. It's cherry picking workouts, right? Like, we could probably do an entire episode on why not to do it, but maybe we will someday. But this is a huge one. Now that we set, this is another thing that we never used to do either. We send the programming out a week ahead of time. And I still wrestle with it in my head. Like, sometimes I want to say, like, the reason I justify it now is I know people need certain pieces of equipment for certain days, right? Or they just want to protect their bodies, right? I do want to at some point get away from setting the programming out a week ahead of time. I really do. I think it's better for people physically if they're here for fitness, right? If they don't have, if you have like very specific goals, then yeah, I think you need to have some proper planning. But if you're here for fitness, health, wellness, you shouldn't need to know the workout ahead of time.
Before we published the workouts, were there people that would show up and then just like leave after they saw the whiteboard? Like, if it was a, like 10 minutes burpees for time or something like that?
I don't think so. Really? I mean, they'd bitch about the workout. But
well, it used to be on the website, right? And you used to put it on like 10 p.m. the night before.
Yes.
And everybody used to open their phones at 10 p.m. Like, I'm surprised the internet still worked.
Yeah.
Because everybody wanted to know what the workout was.
Yeah. So like the old school CrossFit was, you did not know the workout till you got to to the gym.
Okay.
But now, like, for years, it was we'd post it. And, like, I used to do it inconsistent. I didn't have, like, a specific time. It was somewhere between, like, 8 and 10.
That bugged me.
Yeah, I know. Because you guys would press refresh on your phone. I was just like, just wake up and see it. It's not a big deal. But you have to think about your workout when you go to bed, right? But I think that now that people really know the whole week ahead of time, it makes them cherry pick more. Because a lot of times, if you don't know the workout until the night before, like, you kind of already made your mind up for the most part that you're going to the gym. But now that you see the workouts on Saturday for the next 7 days, all right, I'm taking off Tuesday, taking off Wednesday. I hate squats, so I'm going to come in on Friday because I hate that Thursday workout.
Yep.
And I think that is a direct correlation to the dopamine. Because if you start doing if you're doing CrossFit for a few years, there are certain kinds of workouts you love, right? Like this week, right now, when we I think we'll be releasing this for tomorrow. I know the gym's gonna like Monday Squad. It's
I saw that and I was like, that's usually my rest day. And I was like, do I want to just come in and make the next day my rest day?
Yeah.
I did exactly the same.
Sure. Yeah. And I know that Tuesday is not gonna be fun for a lot of people. Tuesday is every 6 minutes, do 20 back squats and do a run or recovery row.
Exactly.
And like, hey, that's not fun. I'll quote my wife Ashley last week when we talked. She asked me what the Thursday WOD is. It was the 3x15 back squat day. With like some accessory type work prior to strict toes of bar lunges. And she was like, boring. Like but she went. And like, I know that there are days that are more fun. You can't just do fun WODs all the time, in my opinion.
That was one of the lightest attended days last week.
For sure. I mean, Thursdays usually are, but that one I think was even less attendance because of the workout.
Yep.
And so I just like, if anyone doesn't really believe me, just watch the attendance Monday, Tuesday at the gym. Monday's a fun WOD, Tuesday's not. And I think some people mistake fun WODs for better workout. Why? Because of the dopamine spike, the feeling that you get, right? Monday's going to feel like it's happy hour after the workout. People are going to be on fire, they're gonna be smiling, high five, sweaty, right? Tuesday's going to be like, oh, all right, that was kind of sucky. See you tomorrow, all right? Thoughts on that, cherry picking?
I mean, we're always talking about the 50-50 relationship between the coach and the athlete. And I think that whether you put out the workout the night before or whether you give a full week's of programming, it's on the athlete to say, these are the days I'm going to go in. It doesn't matter what the workout is. Let me adjust my perceived intensity of what I'm focusing on. Is this going to be a competitive workout? Is it going to be a training workout? Is it going to be a workout to practice a movement that I really stink at? That falls on the athlete. And we can't give people the motivation for the 3x20 back squat day. We can't give people the motivation of, yes, this is a workout that you're really going to struggle at, but you should be here anyway because you need to be here to work on your weaknesses. So I think at some point that just has to become an internal motivation that you kind of just have to say, it's not what I want to do, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I mean, I'm listening to us and I feel like we're really harshing a lot of people's mellow. They're like, I just want to come in and have fun. Mm-hmm. And why are you making me feel guilty for not going to the fun workout and skipping the not fun workout? I'm coming in like for the fun ones. And if you just made it more fun, I'd come in more.
Right.
And I get that. Listen, none of us are games athletes except for you, maybe. and so for us, non-sport side of things, and we're just recreational, you can take some of these things with a grain of salt. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. But I'll step in and say, when I see people that reach a low at some point because they're not making progress, they feel like they're like, oh, like, why do I get so tired on wall balls? Like, why can't I do Fran Unbroken? Why can't I do well in the squat workout on 23.3? And that's why I feel like I'm drawing parallels to myself as a coach. Now I could say I'm a father of 2 years now, right? There are things that a coach or someone that's programming, we do from the like macro level, from the bird's eye, we do know what's best for you in the CrossFit sense. I'm not going to talk about your personality, your life. And I do, and the reason I talk about like this is not to say like, yo, screw the fun. You were only here to work, right? Like I probably come across that way, right? Because I like to work. I like to work hard. I like to train and all that stuff. But I like the fun side. It's one thing I miss out on with like the way I train. Like I know I miss out on a lot of the fun stuff and I miss it. Trust me. When I say it's 4x20 on Tuesday. It's 4 sets of 20 back squats, right?
Yeah. Every 6 minutes.
I know it's if you get there and you were here by 3x15 and you were here for the back squats prior to, it's going to help you out with next Thursday's workout.
Manion.
Right? And I know it's going to help build leg stamina. Like I see it all the time. People are really they're really fit, but their leg stamina is just not there. And it could be as simple as a wall ball. It could be air squat workout. I also know what's the biggest struggle of a 4x20 back squat? Time under tension. that's a huge issue for CrossFitters because we're so used to doing like little sets, going to the next movement, little sets, next to movement. And I think that there's parallels to fitness, but also performance, that if you come in on that day, I know it's going to be better for you than you think. But I also know it's not going to create this dopamine spike that you're just going to be on this high. But we want to avoid doing that all the time, right? Like, I just want to come in and have fun. I'll tell you what, in my opinion, is the person that gets burned out.
I think the people who really are consistent have a lot of internal motivation.
Correct.
For whatever reason. And yep. You're right. You're speaking to the people to try to help the ones who need all these external factors because their internal motivation maybe isn't as good as they would want it to be.
Right.
But I look at that Monday and I'm like, 6 deadlifts at 185 and 3 power cleans. I went, oh man,
let's go,
dude. Like, I can do that. I can do 3 power cleans.
So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just don't think that's got to be like the every week. Like, if you did this every week and said like, hey, I'm going to go pick that fun wad, but I'm not going to do the one that I need more work on. If that's a problem, if it's this week, like, we're not going to criticize you for that. I'm not going to criticize anyone that comes in Monday that doesn't come Tuesday. Not one person. But I think if it's something just you should internally track, if you're doing that all the time, cherry picking every single week, I think it's a problem.
And you'll secretly judge them.
Yeah, secretly.
Yeah. and I think it's important to realize that there's going to be motivational factors in every class you go to, because there's going to be people here working hard.
Right.
And that should be your motivation factor, even if the workout stinks for you. If you're resting at some point and you're in a class of 8, there's going to be somebody not resting, so you better get back to work.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to pull back from those things we feel we need and trying to find other things just to break up the routine.
Right.
So it doesn't get addictive.
I tell people that just coming in is a reward in and of itself.
For sure.
And I say, you got to give yourself credit for showing up, regardless of whether you do well or poorly. Like, you have to give yourself credit. And if you show up for the stuff that you're not doing well on and you need it, even if it's not it doesn't give you that external dopamine hit, you give yourself that hit, like, right, to just tell yourself how much that's going to pay off in the future.
Right. So all these layers that we talked about, even just to build off that a little bit more, this can actually lessen your enjoyment of CrossFit. If you're constantly trying to get all this, if it's cherry picking, it's the people, the coach, the music, the pre-workout, the post-workout reward. If you find yourself doing this, it's like a short-term greed almost. Like, you're just trying to fill that moment, and eventually it just doesn't work, right? Or you're just going to need even more and more layers. And that's really like the primary reason behind not cherry picking a workout or just like throwing all these layers into it, is I actually do think it's going to lessen your enjoyment. And it comes back to the first thing we talked about. Why are we doing this podcast? If you start to really not enjoy coming here and you just have negative thoughts every single time, you're going to quit at some point. Like, why wouldn't you? And I think that's just something to be really conscious of. And the last part I'll say in terms, and then we can kind of go into where we go from here, is if you're only result oriented, that's like another sign that you're kind of approaching the dangerous level of being burned out. And I'll say this happens to everybody, us included. Is at some point you're not going to be hitting new PRs, or the PRs just come really far and few between. And if that result was the only thing you were pursuing, or looking a certain way, right, was the only thing you were pursuing for a long time, and then as biology starts to take over a little bit, you don't have the same capacity, the same lean muscle mass, right? The same aerobic capacity, VO2 drops at the age of 35 for men, right? Like, that's just science that's going to happen, right? I think the way to combat that is to be process-oriented. Is like, in the middle of a workout that you maybe not enjoy or don't enjoy, the struggle point of the workout, is just be conscious of, in that moment, that's what you're trying to pursue, is that actual process. It's not only the result. And I think it's going to lead to a lot of like fulfillment, motivation, and happiness with this stuff.
Yeah. And I think always being conscious of short-term and long-term goals, and yeah, enjoying the work that you do every day, enjoying the people that you're around, no matter who's in the class, because we're all good people here at the end, right?
Absolutely.
We try to be.
Yeah. You're right. That intrinsic reward of enjoying the process is going to last you a lot longer than any of the extrinsic rewards that you might rely on. And you're right. If you said, I'm doing this so I can make sure I hit my clean of 115 pounds. I've never hit 115 pounds. I've always been at 95 or 105. And I'm doing this just so I can hit that goal. Well, what if you don't hit that goal? Then suddenly, or you plateau and you get stuck at 105. Then how does that help your dopamine level? It really doesn't. It drops it.
Right.
So what you really need to do is say, I enjoy the process of working on my cleans to get to 115. Whether I do or I don't, I hope I do.
Right.
But I need to take pleasure in the process of working on it.
Right.
Because I know I will be getting better. You can't not get better at something if you keep working at it.
And there's other benefits of pursuing that. Like the muscle up's a big one, right? Like I really want that muscle up. I really want that muscle up. And you do all this like core work and pull up work and upper body strength work and stability work and technique. There's other benefits that come from it. Like it can't just be about the muscle up. But if you really truly enjoy that process and you undertake the process and you really go after it, there's going to be other benefits that come that way. Like I've always wanted to compete at the CrossFit Games and I've never been close. But there have been other benefits that have come from that, that pursuing that goal that's been out of my reach, right? It might still be out of my reach, but there's other benefits that come from it. And that's why it's like I'm not only thinking about that result. Like I'm thinking about the process and like results will stem from that process. And I think that's like something that just having like that really narrow focus of like, I want to make quarterfinals. I want to podium at 908 next week. It's not that it's wrong to pursue that, but if that's the only thing you're pursuing, and then that can eventually lead to that burnout. Like I know so many people in this gym that they used to come in here and get after it all the time, but you almost get sick of how hard it is, right? This shit is hard. It's always going to be hard. I don't care who you, CrossFit's always going to be a hard fitness program. And I think some people get so programmed to like that middle of the that struggle, the muscle burn, the other people going faster than me. Like, I can't do this movement anymore. It shuts them down so much because they're only thinking about the result.
And if you celebrate the wins, there are wins every day. Yeah. If you're getting stuck at that clean weight and it's not where you want to be, well, think about, okay, ooh, was that a really good rep? Ooh, I couldn't have done that 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't have like received the bar in the perfect position. Like, that's a win.
Yeah.
And we've got to celebrate those as much as we say, oh, I didn't get the weight I wanted to hit today.
Yeah, that's a great point. You got to take those little things. And if you look at the OG guys, the ones that I always aspire to and I look at, they really, truly enjoy the process of it. They're not chasing a goal all the time. They are enjoying the small things, whatever you can take from it. And none of these extrinsic factors are bad. Mm-hmm. It's whether you rely on them.
Right.
Correct.
Repetitively, you should mix in some of these extrinsic factors.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Sometimes like the intermittent random nature of it will help you.
Yep.
If you don't depend on it, sometimes mix up the music, sometimes splurge afterward, do a comp to help yourself with get motivated.
Like absolutely
do all these things. But at the end of the day, your longevity in CrossFit is going to stem from your pleasures that you take from yourself, from the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So just in conclusion, guys, just, I mean, any closing thoughts be appreciated, but also I want everyone to just kind of reflect on their interpretation of what this podcast is. If you want to listen to the Huberman podcast, I'll give you the episode number real before we end it up. It's close to 3 hours, just so you know. So yeah, it might take you a week to listen to it. I want people to reflect on this stuff because like I said at the beginning of the podcast, the entire time I listened to this and the more research and reading I've done about this, I tie it to everyone at this gym, myself included, wife included, you guys included. Like I've seen both you guys go through ups and downs. I'm like, hey, that's life, right? You're never going to avoid that. But are there things that you can do at CrossFit, before CrossFit, after CrossFit that can keep you on that steady line? Like I think the true mark of, a responsible, disciplined person is the person that is they're not that high ever. And they're not, but they also avoid the lows. They're just kind of like that same steady presence. Like those are the people that I think get the most out of CrossFit because CrossFit will naturally humble you, but also bring you to higher levels than other programs, in my opinion. All right. Just the way we do things, the way we track things, the way we kind of repeat things over the years and our yearly routine, monthly routines. I think it's unlike any other fitness program out there. But you have to be mindful that you're not trying to get the highest of the high all the time, every time you come in here. Because if you do, you're going to reach really low lows. So you kind of want to avoid those peaks and valleys. Any closing thoughts?
I think the most successful people that you see in CrossFit, even on the sports side, are exactly those people. They're not too high. They're not too low.
Very true.
They're very steady in terms of their success, progress, and their effort. And I feel like that's a good, model for me to model myself after.
Yeah. And I just think putting thought into it and reflecting on, okay, did I feel like I did really good work today? Good. Am I feeling that, oh, I could do better? All right. that's a natural thing that's going to happen. Am I looking at my score and saying, ah, should have gone a little bit faster at the end? Cool. That's something to think about in the future.
Yeah, it's a note, you know, and then make the change to yourself the next time. So guys, this, if you want to kind of hear a little bit more about science and you have 3 hours, who has 3 hours these days? It's episode 39 of the Huberman Lab. It's spelled H-U-B-E-R-M-A-N Lab, episode 39. It came out September 27, 2021. So if anyone kind of wants to kind of feed off this a little bit more and get a little bit more scientific background on it, it's a good listen. It's a heavy listen. It's on money to listen to it a couple times. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, everybody, for taking the time out of your day to listen to the Herd Fit podcast. Be on the lookout for next week's episode.